This morning, we get to go into Revelation chapter 8. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. And the title of this morning's message is Joy or Judgment? It's a question. Joy or judgment? Revelation chapter 8, and we're going through verses. We'll overlap a little bit. Verses 6 through 13. So we will go through the four trumpets as they're blown by the four angels. Father, as we come into your word, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, that we wouldn't just gather information so as to just know more. And we know that with much learning comes pride. I pray that we would be humbled by what we learned this morning, that we would understand why it is that you even reveal these things to us, knowing that we are not given to wrath as children of God, and yet you reveal these things to us for a specific purpose, so that we would know as a people what is coming. For those who don't know you, to understand that there is wrath that is appointed for those who do not know you. And yet for those who are yours, who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, or there is an eternal covering through your Son. And I pray that we would be sober-minded, that we would be clear about the purpose of living, that we would have no doubt that we are yours, and as we read and study, that you would speak to us and into us urgency, your Son Jesus Christ, to a dying world. May we have your heart for those who are in desperate need of the great physician. First of all, move in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel, fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters be here. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining. And I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead with other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Now this is the seventh seal. There was 30 minutes of silence. Another angel, an eighth angel, approached the throne as he was called, and he was given this golden censer filled with the prayers of the saints before God. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The seal judgments are now over. Judgments leading up to the destruction of Babylon and the coming of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, verses 1 through 6 were the preparation, petitioning of the Lord. And we saw as the saints were praying, you know, it was met with silence and it was met with prayer. It was the calm, you could say, before the golden censer with the incense and the prayers of the saints fills it with fire from the altar before the throne overwhelmed John. You've seen all of this, right? All these things that you're seeing. You know, there are times when we're in the midst, if we were to see something like this. This is an awesome being in a movie theater. It wasn't like sitting before a screen, but rather like, you could say, being on a life safari. You're in the midst of it all. We don't understand how that could happen. In the infinite, we in the finite. There's a beginning and an outside of it. So he brought John to that place, and he was showing them all of this. Not, like I said in the prayer, not just for our knowledge, but it's for lives that are expectant of Christ's return. See, sometimes we come into church and we sit down and we start gathering. Society is concerned, but we're not fully in action in the Lord. We're not completely surrendered to Him. As Isaiah said, as God called out, "Hey, who will go?" We should say, as Isaiah said, "Here am I." I said, whatever it is, whatever it involves, here am I. For your glory to fulfill whatever plans you want to fulfill in and through me. The first four trumpets affect nature, as we describe it, affecting the land, the salt water, the fresh water, and the heavenly bodies, that is, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The fifth and sixth trumpets, which we will learn about in the next chapter, unleash demonic forces that torment and kill. As these things happen, I began to think what the people on earth, that we hold at arm's distance, and it's like, okay, so that's what it is. But really, as you read the word, I started thinking about that. And even poisonous. I imagine they would be devastated, anguished, and even despondent. And that's when people come to a place to where they are suicidal. What it would feel to go through with the population of the earth. But the question is, will it bring them to repentance? Will this and come to know that there is hope in Him alone? Finish it all quickly. But He doesn't. He's patient. He is long-suffering. Even through this, we see His mercy. Through these trumpets that are being blown, through this judgment that is being poured out on earth, away with it all. Just like that. Doesn't need a trumpet. Break one. It's all open. Done. Get it over with. It's mercy. We can see God's grace. How merciful is God with you? How has He been with you? Think about it. How much time have you? Talk about stupidity. You know, because I didn't surrender my life to the Lord years before. He's willing to wait. Repentance. That's His heart. That's His desire. Think about it. How patient. Think about that. We see here the first trumpet, called hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. Now, let me just say this as we go into the explanation of the blowing of these trumpets. It's not necessary to serve as a distraction and losing the whole point, figure out in specific detail B. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that there are trumpet blown and that judgment poured out. It's like, well, it could be this, it could be that. And so as we go through Revelation, let's not miss the point and go beyond those things which need to be just left to God. Who knows exactly what that is? All we do know is that it's a lightning storm of proportions that we've never seen before. That's the point. A third of the trees and the grass will... When it does happen, we wouldn't know it happened here and is burned up here already, right? Its economy would be greatly impacted. Our food supply, at least a third of them would be. But how would that impact? It would be devastating. Just a third for us. A third of the fruit trees, you can say, are gone. Upon which, once before they were just fed of the United States. It would be devastating. Absolutely devastating. But then, here comes the second trumpet. Fires was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died. We need to understand that John describes it as something like going into the sea. It's something like. That's the best way he could describe it. Making it bloody, with a third of the sea creatures dying and a third of the ships being destroyed. The cause or the effect, as far as the blood is concerned, of a third of the sea creatures dying, but we know that it is what it is. Now, again, consider that 3/4 of the earth is covered with oceans. This impacts problems. If 1/3 of the vegetation impacted with this mountain that fell into or was thrown into the sea, calm, as of January 1st, 2015, there were 50,420. But then again, I've been out there, and I can tell you, even lean through whether it be the Pacific or the Indian Ocean or anywhere else, 1, 0. It's amazing. What would happen if 15,000 ships, 1/3, if 1/3 of our fishing industry was suddenly gone? As we know it. But just as people are dealing with. And the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven. The name of the star is Wormwood. 1/3 of the waters became wormwood. So here's the third trumpet blown by the angel. 10. You can jot that down. But God numbered and named. Each one has a name. And he knows the number of the stars. We know that he has a name for each and every one. He called this one by name. The name of a plant that has bitter tasting extract that is, you know, removed from it. There are about 165 major rivers throughout the world. 54. They would be made bitter, polluted. Now, in order for a great star like that to state the world, it would need to break up. And so we know that the rivers are scattered, but God's going to work that out supernaturally, exactly how he has said sources that we turn to on earth will be wormwood, drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as the path of Sheol. Amos 5:7. O you who turn just idolatry. In Deuteronomy, Moses spoke 29:18, beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous, brings death. Now, useful, useless, and even as we see here, deadly. The perfectly thing, and we are strictly warned of the consequences, gives us an understanding of this wormwood, bitter, 1/3 of the rivers of the earth. But all off. Up to this point, really, just to top it off, you know, at least 1/3, the ocean, we have vegetation, fruit trees. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and 1/3 of the sun was struck, and 1/3 of the moon, and 1/3 be kept from shining, and likewise 1/3 of the night. Now, but this judgment impacts the whole earth, as the sun will only give light today. 1/3 of it, hey, it's going to be shortened by 1/3. That's it, nature. That's a lot. Again, know at this time, if we haven't known it before, it's just utter chaos. It's just chaos. But then, there's this fan of the earth. Then I looked and I heard an eagle crow, those who dwell on the earth, at the blast of the other trumpets, that the three angels. It's as if this messenger is saying, if you thought that was. Sometimes we have these fantastic messengers that. And you're here by no accident listening to a fantastic. Whoa, whoa. If you think that life has been difficult up to this point, if you think that some of the things that have taken that to you in just a few moments, this messenger to proclaim 3 woes to the earth, but he does. To warn you, to avoid that has not surrendered their lives to Christ, that doesn't know hope, that doesn't know grace, that doesn't look. Please notice that the Lord is communicating with the people on earth and forewarning them of the. Now we need to understand that the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments are taking place during the tribulation events. That unfortunately many still. Right? After you come to the Lord, it's amazing. It's like, don't you see it? A moment to where they realize the love of God. That when God would just open up their ears and that they would pay attention. Life here on earth, it's eternity. To request that the Israelites be allowed to go out in worship, said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord." And throughout the 10 plagues that hit Pharaoh and the Egyptians, all it did was serve to harden his heart. He worshiped. I know that. They believe that. Just unrepent, a hardened heart. And as mercy is shown to them, as God's grace in the heavens, they still have a hardened heart. Whole church. I will not budge. I will not move. For the time being. But there's going to come into the Bible that it's coming. Are you prepared? Are you ready for that? Believe that not only is it finally time for judgment to come, man, they so deserve it, but are also hoping it comes, thinking when it comes to personal comfort and well-being. I understand that. But then there is another attitude of someone like a prophet we are very familiar with, that we can have examples in the Bible of attitudes we shouldn't. Go towards Nineveh. Preach repentance to them. In knowing you, you're going to show mercy. Going anywhere else, oh, you're going to Tarshish, I'll go that way. Seas, and they threw him overboard, and everything settled. He was thrown up. As he finally, at the bottom of the ocean. And even when he preached repentance, you need to understand, as you go, like, hey, I preached it, I did the work, I'm going up, and I'm going to sit down and watch as just like prophet. It's like the sons of thunder heaven and consume the Samurites, the Samaritans, because they rejected you. You know, reverence towards you, O Lord our God. Kill them. Don't have that heart. To know this is to have the opportunity to use to point people to the only way to get right before God. Comes to the Father except through me, Jesus Christ. Life that we've been given. There is new life that we've been given. One says we are to live it. In response to that love that we have been demonstrated. How do we respond? Completely sacrificial life, surrendered to his will. That's how. How do you wake up in the morning? Do you wake up dreading the day? Or do you wake up saying, you know, I rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. His mercies are new every day. You wake up with purpose in your heart, knowing that, hey, today I get to live for God. Or are you still wrapped up in yourself? How is it that you're responding to the life that God has given you? How is it? Joy or judgment? Today, you need to choose. God gives you choices all the time. It's up to you. Joel 2, verses 30 through 32, as we're drawing to a close. Prophesied this, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, so the gospel was preached even then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't say those who follow the law, the local membership at the church. Didn't say any of that. We're saved. How can you call on the name of the Lord? That's the first. The first call, the first cry out to him. Still not calling out to him. I believe there is a God. But, you know, he loves us all. You're still not calling out to him. Why? You know, if we just do enough good works, you know, he'll consider that. You're still not calling out to him. Let me ask you this. How do you approach a king, a queen? sovereignty. I've done this before. I'm going to demonstrate it to you again. How do you think? We don't know here on earth because, or here in the United States, because we don't serve a king. We don't serve a queen. But this is how you do it. Either you're kissing the hand or you're coming down. What does that show? You're submitted. You're subjected to. You're surrendered to. Their head is above yours. You're not demanding. You're simply there as a subject. It is at that point when you call on the Lord that you will know life. And we are told in the New Testament that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You look at Joel, what he said, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. That's amazing. No longer are the woes of any importance, but simply God's mercy and his grace. That's what's important. For he says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape. As the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. What's the importance of what we're learning? Why is it just like, hey, let's figure out all this weird stuff? You know, what does it mean? Now it's like, listen, you don't need to be given to this wrath. You can choose today. You can look at this and go, wow, you know, we need to pray for more people. We need to pray for our neighbors. We need to pray for our family members. We need to pray for coworkers. We need to pray for other people who are lost. For Jesus came to seek and save the lost for him. And so the question that I asked at the beginning is either joy or judgment. One or the other. But terror to evildoers. This will be a terror to evildoers. When justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous because we're ones that are not going to be overcome with this condemnation, with this judgment. God desires mercy and even grace over judgment and offers it through repentance of sins and surrender to Jesus Christ. But as I've been saying, it's ultimately your choice. There are a couple things that I pray we get out of this morning. Number one, that we are, if we belong to the Lord already, if we've surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, that we have this sense of urgency. The Lord is coming soon. We see all the signs of his return all around us. The world is getting darker, but there's still this light, and it's the church here on earth. If you belong to him, if you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and I pray that there is a sense of urgency that is implanted in your heart, and you go confidently and boldly throughout the world and proclaim not the woes, but God's grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. That's what I pray for you. But second, understand the mercy that he's extended out to you, not just a day of salvation for you. That you're not like Pharaoh. You're not like these people. What comes my way? I don't want to respond. Well, you've responded. It's not something to be played with. It's not something like, let me tell you, yesterday, as we say, actively dying. Yeah, he was in the process of dying. I mean, they're from Austria. And they came, and you know what they had? They'd been here all this time. They had just spent time with their family, went back home, and they were just there. He had a heart attack. They didn't know. And now as I'm there with the family, I tell you about Jesus Christ, and I explain to them the gospel. And I can because the Word of God, the Scripture, the Holy Bible is the Word of God. Then I have the freedom. If you tell me that this is what you stand on, and I'll explain it to you. As it says in the Bible, life is like, for those of you who are older, I know you young people, you look at us and you're like, man, long time. And then you like blink and you're there. Like, yeah. But listen, tomorrow I'm offered to you today. And I pray that if you don't know the Lord, I'll give it to you really simple. Forgive me of my sins. They are an offense to you and they have separated. Please save me. Forgive. Genuinely mean that. Your life will be new. Everything will be different. Everything. It's the fruit that comes from that. That's how you do it. Father, we that you, Lord, continue to communicate to, respond to it. And I pray this morning that we do not choose. No one here chooses judgment. Or that'd be silly to do. I mean, to a logical person, if you gave them the opportunity, Lord, to choose one over the other, of course everyone would choose joy. Of course, I want to experience joy. I want to know joy. And yet, with blinders on or with these scales on our eyes, we make these choices sometimes that lend not to joy but to judgment. Why? It's because we're blind. Father, remove those scales from our eyes. I pray, Father, for anyone here who does not know you and has not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, that today be the day of salvation, that today, Lord, they completely surrender their lives to you. I know that they will be overjoyed by the removal of the burden. I know that many people here know that. And I pray, may your Spirit continue to nudge them right now toward you. May they see your love, how you extend into every person, shedding your blood for us who were enemies of you, and yet you died for us. Lord, let them see that. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for being here. And thank you for stirring us up. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.